O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts and our minds this morning be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. These words from Isaiah are spoken into the deepest despair of exile. The people of Israel, stripped of everything that once gave them identity, are far from home. Their temple lies in ruin. Their land belongs to someone else. They're strangers in a foreign empire that doesn't even know their God. It's hard to overstate what exile meant for them. The temple wasn't just a building. It was the meeting place between heaven and earth. The land wasn't just soil. It was their inheritance from God. And now all of it was gone. To lose the temple, the land, the rituals. It wasn't just a political defeat. It was an existential crisis. Who were they without these things? Had God forgotten them? Were they still God's people? And then into the silence comes this voice. God speaks, "Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I've called you by name. You are mine." Imagine hearing that. After all they had lost, all the ways they had failed, here was God saying, "You're still mine." The God who created them, who walked with them, who rescued them, now reaches out to claim them once again. Not as exiles, not as failures, but as beloved. "You are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you," God says. This is the heart of who God is. The God who doesn't abandon us in exile, the God who reclaims us when we've been stripped of everything we thought made us who we are. The God who speaks through Isaiah to say, "You're not defined by your circumstances, you're defined by my love." And yet God doesn't promise to erase the struggles. The waters will rise, the fires will burn, exile will still be hard. But God promises them something far better than escape. "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned." God's promise is presence. God's promise is, "You will not walk through this alone." For many of us today, this promise feels distant. We may not be in physical exile, but we know what it feels like to be untethered, to feel as though the ground beneath us has shifted. We live in a world where uncertainty is constant. The weight of financial or governmental instability, the divisions that tear at our communities, at the world, the pressure of an unrelenting pace of life, all of it can leave us wondering if God still sees us, still cares, still calls us by name. And let's be honest, it's hard to hear God's promise when you're still standing in the middle of the fire. It's hard to believe you're precious in God's sight when you feel invisible to the world. It's hard to accept love when you're weighed down by shame, fear, or doubt. But that's exactly when grace breaks in. The theologian Paul Tillich once wrote, "Grace strikes us when we are in great pain and restlessness. When it seems that a gap opens in our lives and we hear a voice that says, 'You are accepted.' Not because you've earned it, not because you deserve it, but because God says so." And this is the challenge that Tillich names for us, to accept that we are accepted. It sounds simple, but in practice, it's one of the hardest things we'll ever do. To accept that we are accepted is to let go of every voice, internal or external, that says we're not enough. It's to trust that God's love is deeper than our failures, stronger than our fears, and more enduring than our doubts. And this promise of grace is not just for Israel in exile. It's for us, here and now. And it's echoed in another story hundreds of years later in a small, unremarkable village called Nazareth. Gabriel appears to Mary, a young woman with no wealth, no power, no status, a person the world would have overlooked entirely. And what does the angel say? Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you. Favored one. Imagine hearing that. Mary must have been stunned. She'd done nothing to earn this greeting. God's favor isn't transactional. It's an act of divine grace. God saw Mary just as she was and chose her to be part of the greatest story ever told. But Gabriel's words were not just a blessing, they were a disruption. He told her she'd bear a child, the Son of the Most High, whose reign would have no end, and Mary understood what this meant. She wasn't naive. In her culture, an unmarried woman bearing a child risked her reputation, her relationships, and even her life. And yet Mary's response was not to run or protest. It was to ask an honest human question. How can this be? And that's not doubt. That's the kind of question we ask when God's plans upend our expectations. But Mary didn't stop with the questions. She said, "Here I am, here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Mary's yes wasn't easy. It was a yes that cost her something, a yes that required courage and trust. Mary's story reminds us that God works through those who are willing to trust even when the path is uncertain. Her yes wasn't passive acceptance. It was an active response to God's call, rooted in the belief that God's promises are sure and that God's presence is enough. And through her yes, the story of salvation moves forward. Through her yes, the word becomes flesh. Through her yes, hope takes on a name and a heartbeat. When we hear these stories, Isaiah's words to the exiles and Mary's yes to Gabriel, it's hard not to ask what they mean for us. And maybe you felt the weight of exile. Not that physical exile, but that kind where you feel untethered, unsure of who you are or where you belong. Maybe you've faced decisions like Mary, knowing that saying yes to God will change everything. Or maybe you've simply wondered whether God's promises could still be true for you. But here's what these stories tell us. God's promises are still true. God's blessings meet us where we are. But they never leave us there. They call us forward into something new, something transformative. As I've said before, Reinhold Niebuhr once said that hope is the ability to believe that God's purposes will prevail, even when all evidence seems to the contrary. That's what Isaiah invites us to do, to trust that God's love will carry us through the waters and the fire. That's what Mary shows us. The courage to believe that God's blessing can take root in us even when we can't see how. So hear this wherever you are. Accept that you are accepted. hear God's voice speaking into your life, calling you beloved, calling you precious, calling you by name, and trust that it's true. As we light the first candle of Advent, let its flickering flame remind us that God's light doesn't just shine around us, it shines within us. You are a blessing, not because of what you've done, but because of who you are. You are chosen, redeemed, and called to carry God's promises into the world. So let me ask you, where is God calling you to say yes, even if the path feels uncertain? How might trusting God's promises free you to live with courage? How can you, like Mary, let God's blessing ripple outward, bringing hope and healing to others? The waters will rise. The fires will burn. But God's love will hold. The exile will end. And through you, God's kingdom, already here, already breaking in, will shine even brighter. You are a blessing. Go and let the blessing flow. Amen.